Mad Tower Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Mad Tower Radio. Hope you liked that new Halloween intro we got for you. It is the month of October now, and we're just super excited to get on into it. If you haven't listened to the show before, Christian, why don't you let them know what it's about?
So we have decided to have about a weekly correspondence to talk about and discuss anything you would particularly find creepy, unexplained, horrifying, or otherwise mysterious in our world. And we're just trying to get a better look at what's out there, you know, behind every corner and every hidden doorway.
That's a good way to sum it up. And today's a very special episode. Mm-hmm. We have our debut first guest, Ryan Negron. Please introduce yourself, my friend.
Hello, hello, hello. Are you Mad Tower Radio listeners? My name is Ryan Negron, and I've known your host for quite some time, and I am honored to be here broadcasting from the Mad Tower Radio.
Yeah. We're happy to have you, man. We've been spitballing this for a while now.
Yeah.
Trying to have a guest on, and we were like, fuck it, let's just send it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's
fired up.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes you got to do it. Just jump on in feet first.
And we use a little bit of a talent exchange. Where can they find you, Ryan, before we jump on in?
All right. Thank you. So you can actually find me at my podcast that I run with two of my other friends called Weeboo Woos. And essentially what that is, well, if you know what a weeb is and the phrase ooh-woo, you probably already know what our podcast is kind of about. But if you don't, I'll infect you right now. Weeboo Woos, essentially, our podcast is about all things anime, manga, light novels, and kind of Japanese culture. So, and we mean regular culture. We have those culture, air quote culture episodes once in a while too. But those are on the Patreon. I'm just kidding, we don't have a Patreon yet. But yeah, essentially, like for example, kind of like following in the taking a note from the Mad Tower boys here, we're talking about on my podcast the month of October, all things that are kind of scary anime, scary manga. We're going to be talking about Junji Ito and kind of like the Lovecraftian influences that he has and things like that. But before that, we were talking about like who's our favorite, waifu wars. And, you know, we ask really hard hitting questions like of the quintessential quintuplets, who is your favorite sister and why is it Nino Nakano? But yeah, you can find us over at Weeboos. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We're on Podbean is our platform, and I think we just joined up on Facebook as well as Amazon as well.
Damn, look at you. Yeah, Christian and I were just on an episode yesterday. By the time you're hearing this, the episode is out. We talked about horror video games. Go check it out. It was super fucking fun.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I guess without further ado then, now the introductions are out of the way, I guess we'll kind of break it down. We're going to do three short segments today. I'm going to go first. So, I'm not going to waste anybody's time anymore. Have any of you guys heard of the Kirtland Melonheads?
I haven't.
No.
That sounds like a band.
It does sound like a band. So, it's, like I said, it's a short segment. But it kind of encapsulates that, like, that perfect small town, local legend. This comes from Ohio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool because it sounds like a Bloodborne side quest, right?
Oh my god!
So let me break down the story for you. So there's no time frame. There's no time frame of reference for this either. So it's a local legend from Kirtland, Ohio. And basically, the timeline of events is that a mysterious man named Dr. Crow, through some unknown means that aren't explained in the story, comes into possession of a group of several children and ran an orphanage. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Dr. Crow performed some kind of fucking experiments on these kids, which caused them to have enlarged heads. And some people claim that the orphans had hydrocephalus before this, which further enlarged their heads. And it says these kids got so sick of Dr. Crow doing experiments on them that they killed him and burned down the orphanage, and now they inhabit and also feed on babies.
Oh, that's a cool little one-off at the end there.
Expanded.
Yeah. So it's just a little local legend. Let me drop some art of the fucking Kirtland melon heads, because it looks fucking sick. This is the image I saw where I was like, this sounds like a Bloodborne side quest.
Oh,
my God. They look like the, what's it called? The failed.
The failed experiments.
Failures, yeah.
The miserable failures are what they're called.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super, super fucking crazy. It's super small, so there's not a lot on it, but I'd just never heard of it before, and I was like, what the fuck is a Kirtland melon head?
They've got, like, a little bit of that gray look, you know?
Yeah, a little bit.
And you're just saying they're kids? They're just some dudes?
You find them in Phasma.
So that's pretty much all I got for y'all about the Cleveland Melonheads. Yeah. I know it's ridiculously dumb. It's ridiculously short, you know. But we're trying to cram in three segments. So before I pass the mic, let me read you a encounter with the Melonheads from creepycleveland.net.
Hell yeah.
I'm 20 years old, and I'm very familiar with the Kirtland area due to riding horses out at the Holden Arboretum?
Arboretum.
Ah, Arboretum. And having many close friends who live out there. I've been to where the road. My friends have actually taken me there a couple times at night. First time they took me there, I got bad vibes because I'm one of those people that pick up on them. We were at the bottom of the driveway in the car, and my friend said something about the duct tape and pentagram having been there on the tree the time before, was now removed. Dude, I fucking hate reading sightings, and the guy can't, like, structure basic English.
Can't, like, stay on topic, and he's always like, and then I saw, like, a strawberry.
I was wearing a pair of K-Swiss shoes that day. I'm a size 11.
Anyways, I don't like being somewhere where there are signs of evil, so, needless to say, I got kind of freaked. My friend's boyfriend said he'd drive up there if I wanted, but I said no. It had been a rainy day anyways, and the driveway leading up to the, quote, melon heads was very muddy. We were not in a four-wheel drive vehicle at the time either. My friends also have talked about when you go up the driveway, there are strange mounds on the path to the left of the driveway, almost like something is buried there. But we were not about to go dig them up and find out, though I never did get to see these mounds, since a log was put there so you couldn't drive down the path to get there. Another weird tidbit they told me was when they drove up to the house one night, they saw candles from a distance in the form of what they thought to be a circle. There were cars parked in the driveway at the time with boxes on them. They dared one of my friends to get out and take the box. So he jumped out of the car and went to look what was in the box. What he found in it was a small cauldron. Sounds more like witchcraft or satanic rituals carrying on up there instead of melon heads, if you ask me. Another time we went to the melon heads was on April Fool's Day. Again, we couldn't go up the driveway because the vehicle was sitting at the end of the driveway facing into the direction of oncoming traffic. It was a truck, and it flashed us twice with its headlights, meaning get out of here. I don't know who was in the truck. It could have been a ranger or someone assigned to watch the driveway since it was April Fool's. The last time I went up to the melon heads was with my friends. They finally got to take me up the driveway. As we drove up, my friend's boyfriend pointed to the left where the mounds were. As we got closer to the house, we noticed the house was lit up on the inside. As we drew closer, all the lights went off. That was all I saw. So, yeah, that's a nice little collection of short tidbits about the Cleveland Melonheads. I didn't know that it was like one house where these experiments supposedly took place.
Okay, yeah, that did a lot to help me solidify the idea in my head.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like the perfect small town legend that would have been like sweet to grow up around, you know?
Yeah.
Imagine like you're the park ranger that weekend and they're like, "Sorry, buddy, you gotta fucking guard the Melon House."
Yo, if they put me on Melon House Patrol, I'd be like, "Fuck no, you make the new guy do that."
Melon duty, bro.
The Melon Heads does not sound very like, doesn't have a very truthful foundation, but I ain't taking no risks.
All right. I'd only be there if I was armed.
To the teeth.
Yeah, like I'm talking like, you guys remember the Juggernaut from like Modern Warfare 2?
Yeah.
Standing there
to meet the
full Juggernaut with like the park ranger symbol on my chest, a little hat.
You're gonna shoot a kid? You're gonna shoot a kid with hydrocephalus?
But it depends on how long ago this was. Are they still kids?
Yeah, these dudes are like mature adult heads.
I mean, if this guy was able to just grab a bunch of kids and say, "I'm starting an orphanage," it doesn't seem like it happened anytime soon. Like recent history, that's like something that happened like the 1800s. Because like I feel like you can't just do that and say, "Oh yeah, you know."
But no,
I'm gonna start
an
orphanage.
So the legend persists in other places too, and it kind of has the same monster but different origins. Like it has it in Connecticut, and in Connecticut it says they are like asylum victims, and another place it's in Michigan too, and they're around this place called the Felt Mansion. Like, so this isn't just a fucking Ohio only thing, you know?
Which is wild because most horrible things come out of Ohio.
Yeah, right.
I was going to say, yeah, what more of a horrible place could you be than Ohio?
No.
That's just the first Ohioans, bro. Hunted to extinction. There's only like 8 of them left. And then regular people from Illinois moved in over there.
Those are the Melonheads are actually Machine Gun Kelly fans. Hiding out in the woods.
Persecuted for their way of life.
You like Machine Gun Kelly? We're going to perform experiments on you.
I've never listened to Machine Gun Kelly. I think it's just because he's from Cleveland.
Cleveland Steamer. I was waiting for you to say that throughout. Every time I say Cleveland, like my brain would finish it off and say that.
Mine was gone too, but I didn't want to give in to my 8th grade desires.
I'm a theater kid. I live in my 8th grade desires, bro.
I don't understand why.
Out of the jar.
Like, there were candles in that story? Like, there's also witches over there hanging out with the Melon Boys?
I don't fucking know,
man. I feel like
anything
in the woods, it's like the cool thing for kids to go out there and say, "Oh, yeah." Like, at least to me, it doesn't seem like that has anything to do with the Melon Heads. I feel like either A, they were trying to scare their friends who already knew. Like, they probably knew, like, "Oh, they don't like being out at night" or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, even here where I live at, like, you go into, like, the Forest Reserve and you'll find, like, a shrine or something. I think it's just people trying to be cool, you know?
Like, yeah. I mean, it is kind of cool.
Kind of into that.
Yeah. But you got to, like, do it correctly, bro. Like, we're trying to, you know, they're over here putting up tape pentagrams. I'm trying to bring the marker, bro, in that space.
So, yeah. One of the funniest things about researching the Melon Heads was I looked it up. And one of the first results you get is like a video posted by Fox 8 News Cleveland, and it's called "Truth or Legend: Melonheads in Kirtland." And I was like, "Whoa, the Melonheads made the news! Sweet, sweet!" And I clicked on it, and it's like fucking the local church AV guy's like passion project. Like, it was not great. It was like some kid with like super peaked audio reading from like a piece of paper on camera, and he's like, "The Melonhead, the Winther Road in Kirtland, Ohio." I'm like, "Oh my goodness." It was a pretty cursed video.
Threw him a bone and they're like, "Fine, we'll let you have a segment, kid."
Can I talk about the Melonhead, Dad?
Sure. Whatever, bro.
Your mom's gonna pick you up on Sunday, so
Yeah, that's
like I got kind of spooked when you mentioned like, oh, they're like asylum victims. I had this issue, not this issue, it was more of an event that happened when I was younger. We went trick-or-treating with some of my friends, and we noticed that there was like a lot of people like wearing, they look like hospital gowns. We're like, oh my gosh, like it's like a group thing. And it ended up that up the way there was a mental institute and people had broken out of it. And they were, and we thought that they were trick-or-treaters.
But they were older.
And so we're just like, oh, what is this? We're walking around, and like eventually cops came over and we had to like go inside, you know, because I wasn't with my family. I was with them and their family, and they're like, you need to come inside. And then they're like, later on we find out like I got older, they're like, oh yeah, some, you know, it wasn't like they were like serial killers. It just was like they had somehow wandered out and they just were kind of like wandering the street, which is like it's scary, yeah, like, you know, spooky Halloween. But then it's like, you know, it's kind of sad. They like didn't know where they were. They're like walking around, but you know, sad, kind of spooky, you know, like, you know,
it's a little spooky.
It's like the perfect crime.
Well, it's crazy because like they were like there was like this wooded area that led farther, like farther into that wooded area was where this little like establishment was. So I was like, ooh, it's spooky Halloween. They you know, they came to the haunted woods from like the asylum, like deep in the woods, and they came out looking for candy corn. But yeah, well, sorry, that just brought that up.
I don't want to spend any more time on the melon heads. I'm already grasping at straws over here, but it's a short little fun local legend that I wanted to shed some light on, you know?
Sweet. Thanks.
There you go. That's the melon heads.
I like it.
But Ryan, please make your tell us what you got. I'm ready.
All right. So this one, you know, I'm sure a lot of you Latino listeners have heard of this, and it's, you know, I chose this entity because, you know, it is Halloween time, and it's La Llorona, the Weeping Woman.
Ooh,
yeah,
La Llorona. Ooh.
Yeah, dude. A big reason why I chose it is because, again, it's I'm Latino. That's like a cultural kind of supernatural entity. Also, when I was like a child, my aunt took me to like a museum where they had like an exhibit on Latino folklore, and they had it's kind of wild. It was downtown Chicago, and like they had like in like the main lobby area, they did like a play about La Llorona, and so they said, "Can we get two kids to be your kids?" And I was like, "Yeah." So they like you know the kids that they chose. You know, we told the story, man.
Did you know the story before you volunteered?
No,
or was this lady just trying to like drown you on stage and you're like, yeah, what the fuck is going on?
It was essentially that. It just was like, and then she drowned them. Then she grabbed us by our necks. I was like, and she like dipped us down. And then like we came back later to be kids in the future, you know, like not her same kids that she'd killed, but like, you know, it was reusing actors. They gave us like a different jacket. And, like, and then like, you know, we're out there bouncing a ball. And this actress comes running from down the hallway screeching, and I just bolt over to my aunt, and I'm just like crying. They're like, that is La Llorona. I'm just like, ah! So that's why, you know, it's close to my heart. But essentially what La Llorona is, she's found throughout different like Latin American countries. You know, like you could find her in like Argentina, Venezuela. She's in the United States for some reason, but they just call her the Weeping Woman because they're punks. But I'm going to talk about the Mexico version of her.
Is that the original?
I would say it is, just because it actually kind of dates farther back than just like, oh, we have this kind of folklore. It actually dates back to, I believe it's Aztec.
Ooh,
really?
Pre-Hispanic, like Aztec. It kind of goes back to like this woman who in there, like when the Aztecs were talking about it, it wasn't a woman weeping for her children. It was the hungry woman, and she was weeping for food. But it kind of has the same things.
What?
Like her I didn't know. I didn't know when I was doing the research on it. That's where, you know, like it dates back to 1550. You know, like it's old, and then that's where they kind of discovered this myth from back from like when the Aztecs were around, and it was called the hungry woman, and she was weeping.
That's
for food,
fucking awesome.
And then it also kind of ties with a goddess, and I've never heard of this before. Of her, the specific goddess. Her name was Chiahuacotl, and she was the Aztec goddess of motherhood, and so that was somehow linked to her. I want to do more research now that I've found it, like on exactly how she links to, like, you know, why was this a tragedy for this specific goddess and stuff like that. But
God damn.
That's why I say the Mexican one is more the original, because it links back, like, you know, the Aztecs are such an old
civilization.
And then before them, you know, it was the, not Toltecs. It was Olmec. It was the Olmec tribes of there. And then, you know, prior to that. So, like, they think it came from that pre-Hispanic, pre-Aztec Olmec tribe that came to Aztecs. And then, you know, got from, you know, from there, the Mexico tribes took it and became whatever, you know.
Dude, that's so fucking awesome.
Right? It's really cool, especially, you know, looking up. I'm Puerto Rican and Mexican. So, looking up and kind of finding out about culture. And that spooky is always great. But essentially what this is this woman, you know, before I go into the story, essentially what this story is told to keep kids from going out at night.
Right.
You know, and so they'd say, you know, don't go outside or La Llorona will get you. And she chases after little kids, you know, and she drowns them. And she's heralded by this screech, like a whale, you know, kind of like a banshee. Think like a banshee, you know?
Like like the witch from Left 4 Dead.
Yeah. Oh, my God. First time I played that, I didn't know what it was. And all I hear is, like, my friend saying, mind the witch. And I was like, yeah, man, whatever. Just, like, shoot the zombie. And she screams. And I just get mauled by one of the zombies. And they're like, don't you mind? I was like, I don't know what this is, man. I just got an Xbox 360. Like, I don't know what this is, man. I was playing PS2, man. They didn't have the witch in freaking Kingdom Hearts 2, dude. Donald was the witch. So essentially what the story of La Llorona is this beautiful woman married this kind of rich guy. And, you know, she finds out that, and she has kids with him. And then one day while she's out, she sees that he's with this other woman and she's cheating on her. And in a fit of rage, she drowns the kids that she had with this man to get back at him. Once this fit of rage is over, she realizes that she just killed her children. So regardless if they were from this man, they still came from her. So she just loses it and she drowns herself.
Hmm.
So she, you know, so three dead bodies at this point. Now, how this translates, you know, and then from there, she comes back to life because of what she did. She killed these innocent children, so she's not allowed into heaven or hell, so she's in purgatory. So she wanders mainly by rivers, which is kind of how it's associated with banshees. No, banshees are kind of, like, European-style banshees are found closer to, like, the ocean, like, bluffs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But she hangs around rivers. She's in Mexico, there's a lot of rivers and stuff like that. Not as many, like, oceans, you know, unless you're right on the Gulf.
Yeah.
But, like, that's where she's located around now. So now you jump forward to modern day times, and people have had sightings where they've either heard or seen a woman in, like, a like with her hair down, just screaming. And
right.
You know, it's kind of unfortunate because people can do that when they're having, you know, a mental breakdown or a psychotic break. And these, you know, people who are superstitious are like, oh my God, that's her. And this is actually a woman who needs help. Or if you believe more in the supernatural, you know, this town's located close to a river, a body of water. This woman's not from the town. Where did she come from? She's, you know, why is her scream so loud? One of my friends, actually, when I was doing a production in college prior to where I did most of my college career at, college.
Got out of community college, best place on earth.
Truly was. I had some great times at community college. I used to eat so many chicken sandwiches. So one of my buddies, and we were talking, like, and this was after one of our rehearsals, we were staying late, and the whole purpose was we were staying late and telling ghost stories around the ghost light in the theater. And he was like, this is not like a fake one. He's like, this happened to me. He's like, and he's Mexican. He's like, I was at a family's party, you know, in Mexico, and we were all out there, and there was like 20 of us. We were celebrating his little cousin's birthday, and all of a sudden, one of the adults started screaming. And they said, and they were saying in Spanish, you know, look, 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 coming from the forest. It's like, and then his mom grabbed him,
and
tried to turn him away. but he like looked, and he's like, and he saw this woman just walking out of the forest, and she just was like screaming at the top of her lungs,
running towards
the people. So 20 Mexicans all just sprint. They start running. He's like, all I remember is my mom lifts me up, and she's running. She's just running, and then he's like, all I can hear is this like this hype. And like getting closer, but like it seems like it's coming from all over the place at this point. He's like, and we're getting towards, you know, one of the houses, and he's like, and my dad comes out and he starts firing his rifle, and the other guys start firing shooting at this thing. So that's how, and that's kind of a note on how superstitious, you know, you're living in Mexico, they're very superstitious. It's very Catholic over there because of Spain, and when they invaded is what they did and colonized Mexico, they shunted the Catholic faith on, you know, the population. But those old, you know, pre-Hispanic, those Aztec superstitions still linger. So they need to really believe it to sit there and just open fire on maybe some random woman who needs help.
They don't care. Like, she's getting the business.
Exactly. And so, but the thing with the story is that they shot and they kept shooting. And he's like, I remember in my mind, he's like, he didn't really understand. He's like, she needs help, but why are they still shooting? Why are they still shooting? And he's like, it sounded like they just kept firing their guns. So clearly, so for me, it's like, if it was a regular human, it's dropped at this point. One bullet's going to kill a human. So why are they just firing off their rifles over and over again? Mm-hmm. And he's like, the next day he asked his mom about it, and she said, never speak of that again. And she
Jesus.
Like, and she said, do not bring up that party. Do not bring up that party. Do not. And none of his relatives will even like acknowledge that this poor girl even had a birthday on that day.
I kind of understand. Like, your options are either like you had a ghost encounter or they emptied the clip on some girl.
Yeah, or they killed the woman.
Yeah, so either one.
How old was she turning? Did he mention?
I think she was like 7. She was like a little girl. She was like a tiny girl.
You have memories at that age.
Yeah, exactly.
She'll remember that forever.
Well, the thing is, his mom told him, don't ever bring it up to her. Don't bring it up to her. He's like, but all they know is that like at one point later on in his life, they went back to that, you know, to their family's house there. And he asked one of his aunts and she just looked at him and like she got really white. And that's when, like, when he was older and he kind of did his research, he asked her, was that La Llorona? And then his aunt just said, don't even bring it up. She's like, don't bring it up because we don't go out at night here anymore. Because, like, apparently he said she's come back since then. And, like,
oh my God, it's time to move.
Exactly. And he's like, and she's come back since then. And she was like, don't worry. You know, it wasn't a worry, but it's like, no, they didn't kill anybody. She was already dead. You know, like,
don't. Yeah, that like, doesn't count.
Because he asked, did I just witness my dad and uncles, you know, my dad and Theo's blast some woman? No, she's like, no, there was no body. She was already dead. And she said, but don't ever bring it up. And like the whole family just won't even talk about it anymore. And my grandma, who's on my mom's side, she's Mexican. She would bring it up as well. She was like, she's like, when I was a little girl, we couldn't go out at night. And there was one night where it was raining and we heard someone screaming and, you know, one of her brothers wanted to go out and see who it was and see if they're okay. And his dad like grabbed him and like sat him down. He's like, if you ever hear someone screaming at night, regardless of how pure your heart is, you never go out and look. You never go out and look if you hear a woman screaming at night.
Your mom got told that?
No. My grandma's brother got told that.
Holy shit, dude.
Which kind of sucks because I know if I hear a woman screaming at it, I'm going wherever that is to see if I can help. You know, I'm not as superstitious as they are like that. But
before I even heard about La Llorona, if I heard anybody screaming in the dead of night, I'm not going to help.
Oh, man.
It's just
imbued in me, man. Like, like the other day I heard like some kids screaming and I putting on my shoes. I'm like, I got to go find out what's going on.
Got to go
and
help them. Yeah.
Well, sure.
If the sun is up, I'll check it out.
If it's nighttime, I may call the cops quicker than, you know, if it seems like it's nearby and it's like a scuffle or something, I'll go take a look if I'm able to. But if it's like I hear in a distance someone like shrieking, I'm just like, let me just dial 0-5. Because they're paid to deal with it and I'm not.
Let me just mind my business.
There's a difference between like a scream in the night in like a rural village and, you know,
Lake where everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's two different like contexts to that. But
yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, so
it's gotta suck that like this ghost specifically terrorizes like one race.
Well, it's not just I mean like it's you know, it's like all Latinos, bro, all them Hispanics. You don't like Hispanics, but you know, like you could say that there's like, you know, the Bedlam, for example. That's a European ghost. That's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, the French and werewolves. You know.
Yeah,
everybody's got their boogeyman.
The Latino boogeyman is called El Cucuy, which is literally the boogeyman. Like, that's the thing that parents say, you know, you better turn off the lights. Turn off the lights. You run to your room because El Cucuy will get you. It's kind of the similar thing where Latinos would use these nightmare creatures to keep their kids from disobeying.
To control.
Yeah, they rule nightmare fear, creatures. You know, living as a Latino kid in Mexico or Puerto Rico, it was like living in the movie Coraline, bro. You're like in a Tim Burton movie.
My Mexican uncles would just wear the scream mask and stand out on the street.
There you go. Look, there's El Cucuy, bro.
He would just like look at me, and I'm like, go to bed. What are you doing?
Just like, I know who you are. He had too many tecates, bro. He's like, I am El Cucuy.
See, being a white guy, the only thing that ever happened to me was like, anytime I brought up ghosts, my mom would just be like, listen, there's no such thing as like a good ghost. That thing is either an agent of God or an agent of Satan, and I'm not going to roll my dice. I was like, well, all right.
Hey, man, that's why Latinos don't mess around with those. That's why if you watch any of those scary movies, it's never been a POC who's whipped out the Ouija board, unless it's a movie made like in Mexico. But in all these movies, it's always like some like white guy just like, hey guys, I just found the Ouija board. You want to play? No.
I want to talk to the demons.
I know. At that point, I'm gone. I was even gone when you're playing Phasmophobia. You found that thing. I was standing outside in the truck. I just was like, have a good time.
I was out there in the truck, bro.
Exactly. And that's when it opened your head up like a pop can, Christian.
Did you see the 2019 Curse of La Llorona?
Was that the one that was in the Conjuring universe?
Yeah, the like.
Yeah, it was Dog Gaga. That was a very bad one. Well, it's like they just took, they're like, hey, you know, I was telling, I one of my other episodes, I literally brought this up. It's like they said, ooh, let's find an ethnic ghost, you know?
They appropriated it, yeah.
Exactly, because they just took everything that was her and just said, oh, forget that. She's just a regular ghost. Like she's.
Oh, they're trying to do the CCU, the Conjuring Cinematic Universe.
Bro, you think Thanos would be in there? Would be like, yeah, bro. Is it walking? Where's the Thanos gun? This blaster, bro. But yeah, no, I saw that and it was really bad. There's one that's even worse. There's this YouTuber I watch. His name's Elvis the Alien, and he reviews movies. And there's like, do you guys remember the Asylum production company? They'd make like Pacific Rim would come out, and then they'd release Atlantic Rim like a week out.
Yeah, like the greasy one. Yeah,
yeah, dude. They released. I'm pretty sure it was them. If not, it's on that same quality. And it was just called La Llorona. And they released it like literally the same day that The Curse of La Llorona was released by like a major production company. And you guys have to watch that, man, because it looks like they just grabbed a bunch of people and said, hey, man, you guys want me to be in a scary movie, bro? Like,
right, in this cool.
I just raided my grandmother's nightgown closet, and they put some lady like in like a little babushka, and, like a little night teddy. They said, this is La Llorona, bro, and they like smear some dirt on her face. And I was like, that doesn't even look like a ghost. It's like a dirty old woman. But the thing is, like, she looked all scary, but her teeth were like nice, like perfectly white. And I was like, okay. So
that's fucking awesome.
If you want to see a really bad one, go watch that one. But yeah, so that's my, you know, that's my not so much cryptid, but more of a supernatural entity tied with a little personal story.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's great. That's great. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know, like, I knew it was a Latino culture kind of ghost, but I didn't know that it was that ingrained that like you're growing up with like warnings and like, son, we have to have the talk. And it's like, Dad, I'm only 8. And it's like, no, the La Llorona talk.
Don't go outside, kid.
Don't go outside.
If she doesn't get you before the next 2 years, then we'll have the birds and the bees talk. Don't go outside.
9 p.m. Don't be outside.
The ghost hour. Yeah.
Yeah, literally. What the heck? It's just such like a. Such wild stuff, man. And it's like, we don't get a lot of those. Like, I mean, we have stuff like that here in the States, but it's just cool. Like, America's relatively new. So anything that comes from like American, like United States of America, it's like, okay, that can be kind of spooky, but I want to hear like the original inhabitant story. It's like the indigenous people, because ain't nothing scarier than the skinwalker, bro.
Yeah.
Nothing scarier than the skinwalker. I've heard those stories. I'm like, man,
dude, I ain't going to play with the skinwalker, bro.
I know about you and your skinwalkers, bro. I remember that was weird. But I remember I told Kristen that, and she was like, I don't want to hear about that anymore.
You know what's bad? You know what's bad when like you don't want to hear the ghost story? Like you hear it the second, like the first time, and then after that, you're like, come on, man, don't bring it up again.
We don't talk about that.
That's terrifying.
You will never speak of her 7th birthday ever again.
I know, right? She's actually just went from 6 to 8.
But yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
I'm ready to hear about what Christian's got for us, because he's got a book report for us, Ryan.
I'm excited for this.
So, last year, for Christmas, Dan was kind enough to give me a copy of The Picatrix. I don't know if you can hear this ASMR. Let me ruffle the pages. Ooh. Are either of you familiar with this grimoire, this tome?
Well, I'm a little familiar.
Okay.
But go ahead. Explain it for everybody who does not know.
We are dealing with a sort of astrological manual. Okay. It's a spell book, to be pretty blunt with it.
Yeah.
And it originates in this sort of Al-Andalus, sort of Iberian 900s-ish time period. Now, I'm dealing with like four languages removed. It was originally concocted in Arabic, compiled from a number of different spell books and tomes, and then it was translated in the 1200s by King Alfonso the Astrologer. And they've lost the first translation. So the Arabic to Spanish, we don't have the Spanish version.
Huh.
They then transferred the Spanish to Latin, so it could be disseminated through the wider European market. And this translation I have in front of me is the English from the Latin.
When did it get translated to English?
I have for translation dates are, it was Arabic originally 900s, 1250s for Spanish, probably 100 years after that for Latin. So any time between, 1350
then and now,
and probably the 1800s, I would say, is when that original English translation came out.
Yeah.
So it's a little fucked up is what I'm going to say. Some of these... Some of the translation's a bit rough.
Like spelled wrong or just like really hard to comprehend?
It took a couple of hits to get through some of these sentences. Like it's very like wandering. Like they're very long, very mystical, like imagery filled sentences that were originally, four languages away. So sometimes they talk about downloading the star's energy, and I'm like, this man didn't write downloading in 950. Where'd you get this?
That's because the guy that wrote that book you're reading is the same guy that wrote the freaking Melonhead Encounter that Dan was reading.
Exactly. Like, they came from some greasy Google Translate.
That's so crazy.
The best way to delineate this book, it comes in 40 chapters divided into four individual books. Now, it kind of defies the like book report format, so I think I'm just going to like pick around it and give you some of my favorite pieces of it.
Sure.
But the best way to break it apart is it's separated into talismans and, let's say, concoctions, recipes.
Yeah. So this is just – before we move on – this is just a straight up spell book.
It's predominantly like a reference book. It's telling you what materials, what actions, what times of certain in the stars are right for these certain actions. But there's also about 7 of the 40 chapters are related to theory. It's like why these things are working, how the planets' alignments are, affecting your spells. So it's a whole freaking like reference guide. If you want to get started in astrological magic, it's from what I can
tell.
The
reason I picked this book up for you was because I was reading another book about the history of like occultism in Western society. And there was a lengthy portion on Picatrix, and that like pretty much it described it as like every self-respecting quote-unquote sorcerer had a copy of Picatrix.
Sure.
And that it's basically like the fucking wizard's handbook.
I could really see that, especially in this, protracted reading I gave it, because it does spend a lot of time like agonizing over the theory of it instead of just being like a chart, like on this day, do this, use the cat's brain. Before I get into the actual text, I've got to ask you both, are you astrologian hoes? You into birth signs and tarot cards?
Not a lick.
No. No.
Yeah, I mean, tarot cards are sweet. I like sweet. Tarot cards.
Yeah.
Christian, you've given me a couple tarot readings.
Yeah, I've got a deck. You know, I do a couple readings, but I just think it's like a cool, like, conversational piece. Like, it's a good fun time. I'm not out here thinking like, oh, we're in the house of Libra, so I gotta like shut the door four times or the evil wind's gonna come through.
Shit like that. I mean, I have a deck. I have a fucking tarot card tattoo. I need to set aside some time to learn how to read, but you know, it's just a fun thing to do. I'm not like predicting the future.
No, Ryan, you're not saying you don't check the newspaper every day to see what your horoscope's like?
Nah, man. I am not a believer in those things, really. Mainly just because I've encountered some people who use that to defend acting a specific way.
What's and your sign?
Me? Taurus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That's a fucking Taurus take right there.
It's a Taurus moment. Okay.
Guys, I'm having a Taurus moment on the podcast. No, like, I don't like stuff where, and this, like, this goes for that. This goes for, like, any type of religion. Like, I encountered a lot with Christians. Mm-hmm. Nothing is their fault. It's like, oh, that's God or that's the devil. Like, how about it's just you? You know? Like, that's just you. Don't, like, put a blame on something else or give yourself an out. Like, we're all individuals. We all.
Yeah, I never want to hear about like, oh, my sign's in retrograde right now, so yeah. I'm being an ass.
Christian,
like, no, you're just an ass.
Christian, up? When you're editing this, can you please include the image of a Lego Star Wars Yoda? And it says, I just ran over a child with my 1999 Honda Civic. I'm such a Sagittarius.
That one's making it in. I'm going to make a note right here. Yoda moment. So... So through the use of this book, I've unfortunately gathered a lot of that sort of astrological moment and like terminology. Like, I know what it means to be in retrograde now, and I kind of hate myself.
What does it mean?
It's when it appears that that planet is moving backwards in the sky through its normal route. So, like, its energies are out of whack because it's going out of its alignment.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of glad you asked that. It gives me a good jumping point. The entire basis of the Picatrix's magic comes from the stars and the planets above us. It says that their path and their emanations radiate down to Earth, and they have influences over certain things in the world.
Uh-huh.
And through the use of talismans, you essentially capture the energy of that certain moment. Like if the Saturn is casting a lot of energy down at this particular time when it's reflected against the moon, you can put that in a rock and have its Saturn energy emanate and leak out in different situations.
And then, like, what can you do with your Saturn energy? Can you, like, cast, like, Saturn Blast?
Yeah.
There are, like...
Are you a Sailor Scout?
300 spells in this bitch.
Like, I got 300 Jesus. Spells in this son of a bitch. I'm so ready to use them.
Let me hit you with it. I'm going to go to page 35, my apologies, and we're going to read the summon fish spell.
Very nice.
Okay, so RuneScape. The talisman to fish. First, the image of a fish is made according to the species that is in the river while Jupiter is ascending in Pisces and in the time of Venus. Make the head and body and then the tail and mount it on a fine silver support. A container of lead is also made to support the fish inside. You then fill it with water, seal it so no water leaks out, and then you throw the talisman into the river and fish will come from all sides to that talisman.
What?
And that's how you summon a fish.
That just sounds like baiting fish with extra steps.
It is, but because of the interaction of, what was the planet?
Jupiter.
Fucking Jupiter and Venus. It's something about them coming through Pisces, which is, you know, the fish.
Fish.
that means that their energies radiate down when they're passing through Pisces into your talisman. And you throw it into the river and the fish love it.
So it's not like a zip zop zippity bop. There's a fish in the tank. It's like here's how you make super fish bait.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like that kind of reminds me of you get those MMOs where it's like you get the different grades of bait, like Terraria for sure. And that's what you use to like do that. It almost seems like it's like they're imbuing the talisman, you know, and that's using like the fish. Like, so I guess like the fish radiate because it has the Pisces energy, and they're like, oh,
that's exactly
Pisces, it's my mother. And they all come like running to it, the talisman.
You got it. That's exactly it with Picatrix talisman magic. It radiates the energy that is brought down based on its alignment.
Are there any like, I don't know, I guess like combat spells?
Yeah, no, I mean, this
like
not
spells
all
you can use to kill a man, like power word kill.
There are tons of different
uses. We can't say those over the podcast where we start using them. Wizard Wars break out. No,
you
Clash
want me to
Clans.
Release that magic?
Go ahead, try it. I'm all fucking Cindy Pickatrix.
There's a specific chapter in this book where it's like, you know, you're not really supposed to tell everybody all the spells because people are going to kind of be dicks about it.
Is there a warning in there? It's like, be wary of the wizard war?
It says, yeah, like, be wary
of wizard wars.
Don't be giving anybody the talisman magic because they're going to use it for, you know, bad things. Like, they're going to summon 10,000 fish in your toilet bowl. You're not going to know what to do.
What am I gonna do? I'm being attacked by an angry bear.
Bro, it's like 900. If you had 10,000 fish at any given time, you'll be like the richest man
the
ever.
King. Let me find you a better spell. Let me something you're more interested in. There's some love talismans which kind of don't mesh well with our modern idea of consent. But
I want to turn somebody inside out. Got any of those?
I've got one for commerce. I've got one for depression.
Your depression?
Oh, yeah. I was looking at this forum post, and this guy was like, yeah, I'm really excited to do this depression talisman from the Picatrix, but I looked at the star map, and the right alignment's not going to happen for another 7 years. So
you were on forums, like, looking at people actually trying to cast these spells?
Oh, yeah. People who are modern practitioners of, like, astrological magic are digging right into this thing.
They're loving the Picatrix?
I kind of love the Picatrix. It goes kind of crazy.
That kind of sounds like, you know, the way that it works, like how you're saying how it's like, you know, it kind of talks more like on planetary alignment, kind of reminds you of the Al-Azif.
What is that?
That is known by the other name of the Necronomicon.
Oh, you got me.
The fictional H.P. Lovecraft dark grimoire that has all those goodies in it. But it's kind of the same way in that. It's like, you know, you can't do this spell unless, you know, Jupiter's in retrograde.
At the right alignment, for sure.
Yeah, the right alignment. I mean, that's like the whole thing in his whole mythos. It's like, you know, Cthulhu, when these gods come back, when there's like this alignment of the stars that like reaches from galaxy to like galaxy, and it happens once every like 100,000 million years. That just kind of reminded me of that.
So
what's up?
What do you think is the most I want to know what you think is the most useful spell that you found and the most useless spell that you found.
Okay.
And then furthermore, I want to know what the most useless spell was when Picatrix was freshly released and then in modern society.
Yo, those are good questions. Ooh, okay.
Let me get in here. While I'm flipping through the book, I got a question for both of you to answer while I find my spells.
Yeah.
There are how many planets in our solar system?
Too many.
What are you counting as planets?
Science question. How many planets do we have?
8, legally.
No, I think Pluto got added back legally.
He back?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, bro.
Because
if he wasn't, I was an Aries.
Huh? I thought it was just determined by when you were born.
Don't listen to me. I'm not really sure what I'm talking about.
Bro, the astrology shit is nuts. People are like, oh, there's the sun sign and the moon sign and the fucking...
Exactly.
Air signs and
that's,
like...
That's putting me right in. In the 900s, there were 7 planets.
Oh. 7
astrological entities out in the sky.
Okay.
So, the only ones they had to work with were Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn... The sun and the moon. Those are the only ones they had.
Oh, okay.
We had not found Uranus or Neptune until like the 1700s.
Right.
And some people find this book like sociologically sort of a precursor to the, and it's going to sound a little weird, but like the scientific method.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sort of traces the thinking of like experimentation and like seeing because this effect is happening, this result occurs, and it sort of like draws that line to where like, you know, real sciences would come from.
No, yeah, I think it's fucking awesome that you go back in time and like you can trace science back to like these mystic arts, you know?
And my favorite part, particularly about the metaphysics of the Picatrix, is that they love the moon in this book, bro.
Really?
They find it to be, because it's the closest astral body, and that it's so dynamic, like it has all the different faces, and it moves so fast that it is like the messenger between Earth and the stars. Like our magic, our... I guess you would call them prayers in certain contexts, our spells, mm-hmm. magnify from the moon and go out to the stars, and the astral energy comes from the moon and comes down to Earth. And they sort of got that idea from finding the moon's effects on, you know, the tide and on the Earth, and they were like, oh yeah, this being's super powerful. Look what it does like to our planet that we can just observe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's super cool.
Now, to answer your question, I found the spell I wanted to get you. The worst fucking spell. They got jokes in this book. We only covered talismans, really. There's also a whole half of this book on concoctions and recipes.
Over like a potion?
Yeah, they got potions.
Oh, baby.
So, here's a potion for you. It's a hate potion. It'll make someone hate you.
Oh?
It says, you take 3 ounces of cat blood, 2 ounces of cat brains.
Oh?
2 ounces of dog brain. Mix them up. And you put it in whatever they're eating, and they will hate you.
Well, I would probably hate them too.
Yeah, it works. That spell works.
Not only are
that's
you
like a satisfaction guaranteed spell.
That's
right. Like not only are you ruining my food, but you're killing animals, and I will also hate you for that. So
that's a spell that works. That's the worst one.
How do you subtly serve that in a food?
You put it in like the spaghetti
sauce.
Putting
the ketchup, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's like the 900s. They're eating like fucking rocks? Fish, like hardtack.
just say, hey, man, here's some fucking hardtack enhancer.
Check out my... You want to try this sauce, bro?
This olive oil I made?
Is this puree?
It's homemade.
Cat.
That's fucking great. Honey, have you seen the cat? And the dog?
And also, honey, I'm starting to really hate you.
So, here you go.
Also, I fucking hate you. We're getting a divorce.
Are you dumb?
And then he said, it's the 900s. We can't get divorced. I'm going to stone you in town square.
And so she just pulled out her breech-loading musket and blasted him.
The other really shitty one, some of them are a little vague. It says...
Never good with spells. I feel like never good with spells. It's like, it's vague. So, like... What'll happen if I don't use the right amount? Like, just go with it.
So you would label the hate potion as the most useless one for that time?
I would say that's probably the shittiest potion in the book.
Okay.
Another particularly shitty one is the make a chicken follow you potion. In order to get the chicken to follow you, You will feed it a mix of seeds 3 times a day for 3 days, and that chicken's gonna follow you.
Nice.
No fucking shit.
All right, I'd follow someone too if they were feeding me.
Not all spells need to go crazy. Like, it's just good life advice sometimes in this book. Hey, dude,
I got a spell for you. This spell is called Make Object Wet, right? So what you got to do is you got to wait until Mercury is in retrograde and the sky looks gray, and then go outside and hold the object.
Fuck. He did
it. And it'll get wet.
If Pisces is agreeing with you,
you'll be wet.
The rain will pour from the skies. Or if you feel like being a heretic and taking matters into your own hands, you just pee on a rock. And there you go.
You could just...
You become your own astral body.
That's true.
Some of these are so fucking stupid. A majority of this book is reference material. It's like... You know, the moon likes these materials, the moon likes this color, the moon likes this smell, and use them in your spells. Or like, the Mars is in charge of strife, is in charge of this, so if you just basically match all the dots, like you use this kind of stone with this kind of incense at this kind of time to get X effect.
That sounds like an MMO crafting tutorial.
Which
kind of sounds cool. It's like if you want to craft armor, you have to wait until this specific deity's like celestial body is out and it gets like a buff or something. That's kind
of
cool.
That's exactly what like a lot of it is. It's like you wait for the moon to be doing this and you get, you know, you dress up like this and you clap twice and get the moon's favorite rock and you got yourself a spell.
That's funny as fuck.
And now this chicken will follow you. what if I use moon seed?
The fucking craziest spell I found.
It's a meteor.
This one's like 4 pages, so it's a hard one. It's it casts Viraga, Fire 3.
it's next up on the rotation for my black mage.
If you want to commune with a certain spirit that most astrological practitioners are supposed to meet with once a year, there's this
is like a doctor visit?
Yeah, like you have to have a ritual where you visit this magic spirit, and they recommend you do it once a year.
Yeah.
So, this one's kind of nuts. It's a little long, so bear with me and let me know if you're taking your magic pill once a year.
Okay.
So.
Send it. Give it to me straight, Doc.
This comes from, I believe, Book 3, Chapter 6 of the Picatrix. Look in your home copy. Everyone's got one.
Read along at home.
Aristotle points to this in his Book of Istamagis. He says that the perfect nature is the strength of the philosopher, and to increase his knowledge and wisdom, he has to meet with this spirituality. First, oh god, it's in like broken English sometimes. You go to by the way, they recommend that everyone who does practice magic has their own little house that they do it in, and that's the only thing they do in that house, or like that hut. So you go to your magic hut, right?
Oh, okay, so you need like a magic workshop?
Yeah, like that needs to be where your energies are focused and where you have like your peace and your cat's not going to come in and your wife's not going to knock on the door and the Mongols aren't going to ask what you're doing.
Right.
So you go to your magic workshop and you are going to contact Tmegis Bigdisod Ugdis Nufinagades. These are the 4 words of the spirituality in reference. Pronounce them as needed because they are the sign of the perfect nature. To obtain the wisdom of the secret and the qualities of creation, place myself in my dark passageway, which no dark so you cannot see, and no lamp is in the currents. Take light, put it between glass, and protect it from the currents of darkness so that you can light it up when you're ready. So have a lantern.
Uh-huh.
Enter the passageway. Dig in the middle, and you will find a talisman that you already put there. Extract it, and the currents in the passageway will stop. The lamp will light up. You will dig into the 4 corners, and you will hear, "Who are you?" He will reply to himself, which is kind of weird, "I am your perfect nature. If you want to see me, call me by my name." He will say to Magdis Bigdasad Ugdis Nufanagides, and he says, "And when and how shall you evoke me?"
And you're really just saying that, like, fucking Biblaghost or whatever the fuck this ghost's name isn't going to, like, appear in the closet with you.
I am in the closet right now. I hope his ass isn't here.
He just is like, "I am your perfect nature."
he looks like Slimer from Ghostbusters.
My man.
He'll say to you, "When the moon stops in the head of Aries, whether it is day or night, get into a clean house in the eastern corner. Put a table up. Stand it up from the floor. Take 4 glasses of a clay cup and fill them with the following oils: almond, butter, nut, and sesame. Take another 4 glasses and fill them with wine. Then you need to make some walnut oil, some butter, honey, sugar, and some sweets. Take these 8 glasses and the sweets into a crystal dish. Put the first one in the middle of the table and on top of the sweets." This dude's fucking hungry.
And
"Put the 4 drinks along the 4 points, east, west, north, and south. Take the oils. Almond goes to the east. The fucking butter goes north. Honey west. Sugar south. Then you take the book," which Aristotle mentioned at the beginning, "the book of Istamagis. Take a candle."
Ah, of course.
Yeah, you got that one too, of course.
So easily forgotten.
"You light your candle. Put it in the middle of the lamp. Take 2 braziers filled with coal and 1 with incense. And then you will face to the east, say 7 times his name." I'm not going to do that. I don't need him here. And then you say the longest goddamn prayer that's ever existed. Are you ready?
Go. Oh, I'm ready.
"I invoke you, powerful spirit, exalted spirituality, prudence of the wise, intelligence of intelligence, science of the wise. Answer me. Introduce yourself to me. Approach me with your procedures. Direct me with your wisdom. Sustain me with your strength and make me understand what I do not understand. Teach me what I do not know. Let me see what I do not see. Separate from the disasters of ignorance, forgetfulness, and harshness from me and take me to the level of the most distinguished sage in whose heart dwells prudence, wisdom, clarity, discernment, and understanding. Dwell in my heart and do not separate from me." And he'll do it. He'll bless
you. And that's okay. So I'm lost. What does this accomplish? What does that spell do?
It says that the spirituality, a sort of higher magic deity, once or twice a year will come and bless you if you perform that rite.
Oh, okay. So it's how you fucking set up with your spiritual care physician?
Yeah, you top off once a year so that your mana points regen.
Okay.
You can continue casting. So okay. I would say that is the most powerful or the most prudent spell back in the day.
Okay.
To answer your question. And you were asking for one also. What is the most useful spell in the modern sense?
Yeah. The first spell that you would cast today.
Oh. There's a spell that makes, like, the people, like, kill their mayor. That one, I'm kind of into that one. let me try and find that. I love it. So, I could go into you about, like, the deep, raw metaphysics on why Saturn makes you want to kill your neighbor, but I don't think that's this kind of show. I don't think we need all that.
That's in the Patreon exclusive.
I'll read the entire thing in an audiobook for $30 a month.
So, do you think that this sounds so fucking cracked because it's 4 languages translated? Or because it was just as cracked back in the fucking day?
I definitely think the 4th translation did a little something to it. There is a new, fresher version being produced now coming from Arabic that might help a little bit.
A direct like Arabic to English?
Yes.
Is it coming from like the original Picatrix?
There's a bit of disputed prominence on that. Like, it's a little hard to decide what is the original text that they're going to use.
So is there's like copies out there that are like in museums?
From what I can tell, there are a couple really old copies, but I don't think there's an OG. There's not like the Necronomicon out there of the Picatrix.
Okay.
Because it's almost like far back enough for it to be a folklore thing. Like maybe, like we don't even know who wrote the damn thing.
Yeah. Right.
That's part of its like mystique and disputed aspect that like it just sort of came and became a part of this culture.
Yeah.
And I think, hopefully from the reading, you can sort of see how it's influenced a lot of the sort of mysticism and cult nature of, like, our modern lives. Like, you're hearing a lot of this shit still being used and, like, the concepts that it lays out for us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I do like, it gives you a really nice tutorial on how to make inks of all different colors. That one's, like, actually fairly practical advice.
That's pretty cool.
And this is like half wizard book, half like farmer's almanac.
Exactly. And there's another one for... There's a little bit of, in phylacteries. I didn't really go into that. It kind of freaked me out.
What? It teaches you how to make a fucking lich phylactery?
I don't know if it's like going to put your soul into it or something, but...
Don't you be reading that shit while I'm on the call, bro. I'm going to get trapped in something.
I'm scared they're
going to... You need to learn how to fend off fucking La Llorona with a fucking fireball, bro.
I use my friend's uncle's shotgun he shot her with.
You're going to read the wrong page. Put my soul in a USB drive.
I started to watch a Chappie. The little robot just backed me up on a freaking Mac Mini.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I was pulling through. There's a talisman for men to deal with women, if that interests you. Take that how you will.
Christ.
That's, you know, it was
a different time. You gotta be a Sigma male.
I like how you said deal with, where it's like dudes in the 900s are like, man, I'm gonna have to interact with a woman today. I better cast the talisman.
They were so scared they had to call on like the stars themselves. Like, hey, I'm kind of nervous, Jupiter. Make me strong.
What should I say to her?
He goes, tell her that I will have a soul soon. Like, you're right. I think that's what I'll say.
Thanks, bro.
Hey, Julia. Jupiter wants your soul.
Julia, you want to come check out my warlock hut?
Hey, what a big flex.
Take him to the warlock hut.
That would be pretty cool. Do you think there were like shit amateur wizards back in the day where like they didn't have a wizard's hut, so they were like doing everything in like a tent?
Oh, your mom's basement.
There's a very important part I should note to you. There's some belief that following the chapter on like, hey, be careful who you tell wizard spells to, that there's a sort of code in a lot of these spells and a lot of these concoctions, and it's the hope that you are experienced enough to know to not drink the poison. Like, some of these spells are toxic. They'll fucking kill you if you drink them.
Very smooth. Yeah.
And
that's my favorite spell.
Death. Level one. Death. And it's their hope that someone who's actually serious about this would, like, have an understanding of, you know, herbology and the chemicals that you're putting into it, and that you would be able to, like, read through their code and actually be a good wizard.
So this isn't... It's not meant for, like... baby's first fucking spell book. Like, you should definitely not go into this thinking it's a toy.
No,
even back in the day,
it's not a pick up and cast type thing for sure.
That's very interesting.
So let me find like your spell. Go ahead.
I feel like people like underestimate that too. They'll just be like, oh yeah, you know, like, especially nowadays where people like, there is a certain respect that needs to come. Like, yeah, like, we're joking around and stuff like that, but, like, you know, I'm not actively practicing these things. But, like, you know, there's a respect that needs to come with these things because, you know, if it's real, it's real, you know? So, I feel like nowadays...
Those does show up.
Yeah, exactly, you know? It's like, why would, you know, you don't want to, like, be sitting there and, like, goofing off and not taking it seriously, and then, you know, freaking Ebriatus, daughter of the cosmos, shows up and just smashes you into the ground, you know? But I feel like nowadays, because now, like, people want to identify with things so much and connect with things. And this goes back to, like, you know, that's not something you just pick up and use. I feel like people nowadays are like, oh my gosh, like, yes, I'm just, like, I'm feeling so witchy right now. Let me just grab my Picatrix and, like, do some of these things. And they just don't give it the respect that it's due. It's more of like a, yeah. This becomes, like, I'm trying to be witchy. That's something I hear a lot. And one of my friends who's, like, Wiccan, she's like, I hate hearing that. She's like, because it's kind of like, you know, that's like, that's my belief. And you walk around and say, oh, I'm going to be witchy. I'm feeling very witchy today.
Yeah.
Like, just feeling witchy and you wear black tights and you, like, carry around, like, your tarot cards. Come on. You know, like, and it's kind of like piggybacking off what you said, Dan. It's like, it's kind of cool that they would put that, hey, this is not, you know, you need prereqs before you get to use the big boy spell book, you know?
Like, yeah.
You can't just walk in there and be, you know, kind of like an idiot. You know,
if you want to read, know. If you want to read Picatrix, you need to get through the Fisher Price spell book first.
In the prologue, says that he collects this assortment of spells and information from like 120 different previous spell books he read. This is a pretty interesting cultural artifact. They pull from Greek tradition, Persian tradition, like Middle Eastern pre-Islamic tradition. They speak a lot on the work on astrology done in Hindu religions. Like, it's a fairly multicultural work, the Picatrix is.
That's so sick. Does it talk about anything about, like, how this book clashes with, like, religion? Because, you know, you said, like, this was Arabic or originally in Arabic and then Spanish and then Latin, like that's all like under the Abrahamic umbrella. You know what I mean?
The English versions and the Latin version of the Picatrix cuts so much out. The original Arabic version is very synchronized with the Quran. It tells you like which parts of the Quran denote certain aspects of the signs that like matches that with the stars. There's whole verses of the Quran in the original Picatrix version, and then the Latin, like Catholic dudes from Spain were like, we're not doing that. We're gonna cut that part out. We don't fuck with that part.
So the Catholic half
spells then, right? Like they're not really getting the full way a spell would be done then because they're not using the part of the Quran that needed to be used with it?
It seems like it's a bit of a bastardized version that we've got today, for sure.
I see.
What were you going to say, Dan?
I was going to say, like, does it comment all, like, on how it relates to, like, Christianity?
They tread pretty lightly on Christianity. They do a ton of Greek. They're like, Hermes is our guy.
Yeah.
But JC doesn't show up much in this book.
Really?
They do a lot to sort of say this is kind of alongside any religion you want to put it with. It talks about like this is the workings of the universe, which is created by the deity of your choice. So we're not really going against your God if they created the stars and the moon and the Mars and they're just giving us that energy.
That's pretty fucking wild.
Like a one size fits all. I mean, there's. I wish I could find my favorite cracked chat. There's so many just like one off sentences where I'm like, what am I spending my life doing reading this fucking book? they're telling me about like the 24 aspects of the moon, and also there's 24. Discs in your spine, ain't that crazy? All I'm saying.
You know that kind of reminds me of? You know, there's like different editions of the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was younger, someone gave me this edition of the Bible called the Message Bible, and it kind of reminded me of that because it's like all these like different kind of things just thrown in there. It's like, oh, here's the story of like, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but also here's like a really cool fact about Peter. He had a size 13 shoe. Did you know that? And like, it just like, it's like random shit. Yeah, just like, it's again, here's like some fun treats you could make from the biblical times, but also
Judas wore fake Yeezys.
Judas was kind of aside from that, like the translation was horrible. You know, this was like, I felt like I was reading a comic book. as opposed to like reading like, you know, a religious text, just like, and Jesus rolled up and said, "Let there be light, my friends." It's like, yeah, this is kind of weird, man. Who wrote this, bro?
Okay. I got it for you. You ready for this?
Yes.
Yeah.
So here's a paragraph.
What is this for?
On how human life is like enmeshed in this magic, and we're all just using like the energy of the universe. It's not fucking with Jesus Christ. Like it's according to his energy.
So this book claims that it's there, and it don't matter to your.
It seems to be pretty flexible with that in that regard.
Okay.
So it says, in addition, your eyes are like two luminous stars, nostrils like two winds, eyes like the east and west, they're forward like the day and they're back like the night, they walk like the movement of the stars, and their settlements are like the fixed, recoiled constellations that fall and rise in death as stars eclipse. The inner membranes are seven, like the planets, and in the head also has seven bones, like the days of the week. In the back there are 24 vertebrae, as there are 24 hours in the day and night. 28 joints, as the number of mansions in the moon and the letters of the alphabet. His belly and intestines are as many as the days in the new moon. It contains 360 veins and as many arteries, the number of days and nights of the year in the degrees on the sphere. So they're trying to say, like, this is all a part of some larger construction and parallels.
What are these two letters of the alphabet I'm missing?
That's ñ and exclamation point.
Okay.
No, I just made that one up. Do you think
it's the umlaut, bro?
The umlaut.
You think all the astrologians had a tough time when they found Neptune and Uranus?
They were like, "Oh fuck!
I gotta update the charts, bro."
All right, just like, we gotta change the way spells have been done. That's why those chickens have not been following me. There's two other planets. Are you kidding me?
They're fucking it up.
That's why the hate potion isn't working on my wife.
All right. It's like, what are we gonna do, guys? Oh. Like, I could just picture the big wizard meeting. They all gather. They summon that spirit. It's like, okay, so I got something to ask you, Mr. Spirit. Why don't you tell us what's with the planets? Now we've just been whipping these spells for however many centuries, and you've just been sitting here saying, yeah, good job. Keep going. I'd be mad as hell.
Just stringing us along.
Yeah. Okay, well, I just found out too.
I've got that spell for you. Ready?
This spell is, you would think, is the most useful in modern society?
Yes, it is a talisman to banish a man from his city.
All right. How do you use it?
So a lot of these spells, when you're targeting a particular person, it comes with the caveat of you have to know what his birthday was. So, so you got to know him enough to know his sign.
So, uh-huh.
You will make an image when his sign is ascending and mobile.
Right.
So first you have to find out what his birthday is, and you gotta come, like, you gotta match that up. You have to, and this also includes finding materials and carving in the runes that are synchronous with his sign. You will bury that at the crossroads of the town, facing him. And, like, so you face it, the front towards him, and the back, the place you want to get him to go.
What?
It's
all right.
It's all, some of them are a little vaguer than others. Some of them are like, you build it when his energy is up, and then you face it towards the direction of hell. And you get a little free-formed with it. Like, that is the blueprint, but then you go into the back of the reference and you find out, okay, like, what's the rune that I carve, and what's the precious metal that I use, and like what is the right combination with that vague little description I got.
And this is just a talisman to make a dude leave town,
to banish him from your town.
So do you think Picatrix was so popular in the day that if you like went up to a dude and casually you're like, "Hey man, what's your birthday?" and he's like, "Oh fuck no, you're not banished talisman me."
No, I don't think it was that big that, like, people were guarding their birthdays.
Straight up wizard duels.
Dang. counter talisman stuff like that. Some guy, like, he like tries to cast some guy out of his town, but the other guy had a counter talisman, so when he wakes up, he's somewhere else.
So when he wakes up, there's 10,000 fish in his toilet bowl.
Dang, they're smothering him, bro.
They go into that shit. Like, you, there's a hierarchy. Like, if you use a smell that Saturn likes, it's not going to be as strong as someone who uses the colors that Saturn likes in their talisman.
Oh.
So if you couldn't afford dyes and stuff like that, you were like some second-rate wizard.
You're a second-rate wizard. Third-rate Picatrix.
If you're casting, like, the baby spell, or, like, if you cast yours when the moon's really fast and it's not within 7 degrees of the sun, it's just not even fair. It's not a fair fight.
It's like waking up to, like, buy shoes. It's just like if you don't wake up in Japan at the right time and you can't buy these new Gundam shoes that came out, you know, all the guys on the other side of the world, they can't, you know, because the moon was on their side and not yours.
These sound like they would get so complex that it would be, like, a stand battle.
Oh, there's tons of, like, contradicting rules. Like, it's like, never, ever try to build a talisman when there's a solar eclipse, obviously, or when the moon is within 7 degrees of Scorpio, because she's in her bad flow. That's what it says. It's not me being weird. Like, there's so many, like, 10,000 rules that you somehow have to build, and I guess if you're big into astrology, you've got your calendar planned out for the next 10 years that you're like, oh, I gotta cast a fish spell next Saturday, clear the board.
Boys, we're having fish on Saturday.
Like, when Scorpio's 10,000
fish show up.
10,000 fish.
You're having fish next Saturday and for the next 200 Saturdays. Mercury poisoning.
But, I mean, that's the long and short of it. I could spend all day, like, picking my favorite passages from it, but it's, you know, it's a short instruction booklet at times. It's a theory book at times. It's literally insane ramblings of which letters the moon likes best at certain parts. It's like, if you got, like, the letter G, like, Mars is fucking with you. Just like absolute insanity.
It's like, my name is Gilbert. Yeah, the moon hates you.
Yeah, you're a bitch.
Real quick before we cap it off, then, does it say anything about, like, conduct for, like, getting into a wizard fight?
There's no, like, the honor duel system between a wizard and his master. No.
Okay. I just wanted to see if there were some crazy ramblings of, like, I don't know.
I mean, there's,
doesn't say much about wizard on wizard combat.
The back half is a lot of just, like, stories, like, antidotes about, like, how this one dude cast a spell and the corn grew real well.
Yeah.
But they don't refer to them as wizards. It's not like the Harry Potter 101 book.
What do they refer to themselves as?
Like, where's it? They use one certain word a lot. It, like, sage, usually.
Sage, like, that's sick.
If you're the sage. I mean, the original translation is, like, the will of the sage.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really good stuff. Like, it tells you, like, where a lot of these precious metals come from. Like, where the best lapis lazuli comes for your, like, Saturn spell.
Oh, cool.
It's a fun one to just sort of pick around on, and I would, you know, encourage if you're kind of into it. It's readily available, and there's some fun to be had.
That's right, everybody. You can own your own copy of Picatrix today. It's out there. It's free knowledge.
Come on down to the Mad Tower Radio web store.
If you want me to cast a talisman and, like, banish all the cats from Rhode Island, send me a message. I'll get it working.
Dude, a wizard for hire, bro.
That's like our level 10 Patreon subscription tier. I'll cast one spell for you every month.
That's sick.
Like, Dan, is there anything you want me to do? Any kind of magical enhancement you need?
I'd have to thumb through the book. I mean, maybe just cast, like, 10,000 fish as a proof of concept.
you need a lot of lead for that. What about you, Ryan? You want me to You got anyone you need wizard blasted?
Wizard blasted? Nah, man, not right now, bro. But I'll hit you up when I do have somebody I need taken out. And have them. I'll point the rune towards, like, the scrap heap or Ohio and go hang out with the melon.
You just got to tell me when his birthday is.
I got to go find that out. Just walk up somewhere and go, hey, when were you born? Great.
You're done.
I won't be seeing you again.
Where are you born?
You wait till the moon's moving fast, you're donezos, buddy.
September 23rd? Oh, you're fucked.
You're done, buddy.
You just made the worst fucking mistake of your life. Then he just beats my ass in the street.
I throw a smoke ball.
Later, just you wait. Just you wait till I get my fucking Picatrix.
All right.
No, that was a great little fucking book report, Christian.
Yeah.
I thought really we were cool. Just going to be talking about the book, but you knew so much about the history, the shit surrounding it. It was fucking awesome.
I mean, it's this bitch. I don't know if you can hear it. It's a heavy tome. This is 450 pages. I was reading it like a madman all week, being like, I got to be able to say something or they're going to call me a fake wizard. I'm going to get hexed by the tarot card girls on Pinterest if I don't do this right.
Dang. No, I'm
he's one of
I'm
your talisman, bro. Catcher of the souls inside the rock.
Good thing I got the anti-e-girl lock underneath my door.
That's fucking sweet. That you keep it on your hip, bro?
Opera GX.
Do I keep this thing on me? I keep the Picatrix underneath my couch in case a demon comes through.
And like the Zumper battle pose in Final Fantasy?
What'd you say? Dang.
I said you're hitting like the summoner battle pose in Final Fantasy 14.
She's kind of bad.
So what you're saying is that you just created the Astrologian class, bro.
I was waiting for it to come out. I do main Astrologian in 14, so it's a little on the nose.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense. Like if you want to like do something, cast a spell, you have to do all that different stuff, and it's kind of like a mini game, just like your card mini game.
Your little fucking shitty mini game, loser.
Well, that was a ride.
Fantastic. Well, what's up?
Oh, I was gonna outro, but if you want to take it, go ahead.
For sure. So, first of all, thanks, Ryan, for tagging along. We hope you enjoyed your little stay here on the Mad Tower Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And you're always welcome back.
For sure.
Well, you just contact me whenever you need me. Like I said, I love all things creepy, spooky, mystical. Those are all the things that get me through my days. I feel like, I don't know if I told you guys this, like I literally just sit there, my YouTube's queued up with like, you know, what are five folklore creatures that you don't want to run into and stuff like that. So like, man, I'm always in your corner, guys.
You're getting just yourself tag a blessing me whenever you, for that.
You just tag me whenever you need me.
You want to shout out your stuff?
Me? Oh, yeah, sure. I'll shout it out. You know, again, if you want to come find me and my two other buddies, you can come check us out on Weebwoos. Just type in on Spotify, Weebwoo, as in capital W, then lowercase E-E-B, uppercase ooh. No, it's not uppercase U, uppercase U, lowercase W, uppercase U, and lowercase S. We are the Weebooos. And again, we talk about all things anime, manga, Japanese culture. And right now for the month of October, we're trying to sprinkle some spookiness inside with that, with our little anime podcast. But yeah, you can find us there on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Podbean, Amazon, and Facebook Podcast.
Fantastic. And keeping with the theme, if you, the listener, have anything spooky, anything paranormal, or a little spine tingling that you want to share with us, we absolutely want to hear it. Some of my favorite segments have been reading your horrifying stories that have come to us. So Dan, if they want to send us that one time that 10,000 fish showed up in their toilet bowl, how do they reach us?
Well, you can email us at supermadtower@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Instagram at Mad Tower Radio. You can hit us up on Twitter at Mad Tower Radio. If you know me in light, know me in real life, you got my phone number, shoot me a fucking text, call me, get a hold of me, scream in my face in the streets like La Llorona. Like, get this story to me. I will read it. I know we got some on the backlog. I'm kind of trying to compile them so we could do a whole episode of just viewer experiences.
Ooh, that sounds great.
That'd be nice. I need a break after reading this whole ass book.
Oh, yeah. So we got some good stuff. We're going to try and do some more Halloween-themed stuff. And yeah, big things coming. Big things coming. Go check out Ryan on Weeboo-Woos. And this has been Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.